On the Claire's Matt and Kimber catch-up, inside a Kalgoorlie brothel, our extended chat with a madam from the Pink House.
And we asked about your unexpected wins.
And we threw in some classic Claire's bits that you just need to hear.
No, you don't.
Think of this podcast as one big block of fun. Then imagine living on a big block from 360 to 900 square metres at Rosehill Waters, South Guildford, just 15 minutes from the city.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber on your computer. Gosh, how high tech. Enjoy this podcast. Everything Perth.
And a lot of people licking their wounds this morning. It's the day after the Melbourne Cup, of course. And not just financial wounds either, but some people got a little bit lucky yesterday.
They did, yes. This chap, I can't remember the betting firm, but they offered this fantastic sort of, you know, we'll give you $1 million if you pick this horse and we choose your name out of a hat. And he was the dude.
Well, yeah, they randomly selected him and said, who do you want to back? If you back the right horse, we'll give you $1 million.
Yeah, he went with Rekindled.
He sure did. Smart guy.
Yeah. Now, we know what happened in the race, but we will replay it for you because, you know, you may be a bit blurry-eyed this morning.
Johannes Vermeer and Rekindling, stride for stride, Rekindling has won the Emirates Melbourne Cup.
Oh, there you go. It was the 2017 Cup, not 18, that Barra said on the news last night. It was going back to the future. But this is what happened to that winner.
Come on, Kenny! I can't believe this. I can't believe it.
Wow. Yeah, quite a bit of hugging of the cameraman going on. That was the cameraman was his mate who couldn't believe his buddy was just about to win $1 million.
That's what it sounds like to win $1 million that 5 minutes ago you didn't know you were going to win.
Well, it doesn't even have to be $1 million. I think it's just the joy of having an unexpected win.
True.
Yes.
You know, like when you just don't know what's coming at any point when someone goes, hey, you won a thing. Usually people go, I never win anything. Oh, I think they just like the excitement.
Don't I know it? I'm a Freo supporter.
Yeah, I had an unexpected win though. I did it at, well, as you guys know, I'm the ambassador for Edmund Rice Camps, the children's charity.
Yep.
And I host their ball every year.
Mm.
And at the ball, I bought a raffle ticket and I drew the raffle and I drew my own name as first prize.
Right? Obviously you didn't keep it, right?
It was super.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she did.
I did. It was super embarrassing. And I said, redraw, and they said that I could keep it.
Oh, which trip to Paris?
Sweet. Well, it was a hotel stay. It was very nice.
Very nice.
But I still was like, it was an unexpected win to draw my own name out. It felt rigged, but it wasn't.
I had an unexpected win the day I met you, Kimber.
Ooh, nice.
Sweet.
You know, late in the year 2000, you know, when you're at a workplace and you start getting, you sort of like they start having meetings and you're not involved in the meetings.
Yeah.
And then you start seeing folders with a whole lot of names on and your name's not on there. So I started feeling that at the radio station I was working at. And you know that you're in the gun. You know that you're probably Gonski.
Yeah.
So I got dismissed from one job and I got a job at Mix the next day upstairs. the same day. So the program director, I walked into the program director and I went, what's going on? And he takes me upstairs. He goes, come with me. And I got a job at the other radio station.
Oh,
wow.
Unexpected win.
Well, I thought you were having an unexpected win because your name wasn't on the meeting schedules. Because I love it when I'm not on that.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah, the meetings you didn't want to be at.
I told you the story of going to the shops and like to buy lunch and finding a lotto ticket and going, oh, that's from months ago. Check it. Beep, bloop, bloop, bloop,
oh, really?
Bloop, bloop, $1,000.
It's so good.
Unexpected win.
Love that.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Joy's in Brookdale. Joy, what did you win?
I went to a work, like family picnic near Christmas time. And, you know, you get tickets as you go through the door and you buy some tickets as well. And I end up getting first and second, like as in like a family grocery pack and a big bundle of toys. And then I end up getting the door prize as you got in the door as well.
Oh, so Joy.
I know. Ka-ching. And it was kind of awkward, you know, because you're like your name gets read out or whatever. But it was like, oh well, we kept the two because one was like food and one was for toys. And so we gave one back and just thought, oh yeah, okay, just, you know, out of niceness, I guess.
And have you been barred from this year's party?
maybe I just don't purchase the ticket.
Yeah.
Just get the one door prize ticket.
You hit the purple patch and the rest of the room hates you.
Thanks, probably.
Joy.
Hey, we're going to go out to Coogee. Brett, mate, when did you have an unexpected big win?
Yeah, hey guys, hope you're well. When my sister had her first child, you know, they'd planned that, but they didn't, my sister's husband didn't want a second child. Right. And when I found out that she was pregnant and I was going to be an uncle for the second time, yeah, it was the biggest win of ever.
Oh, nice one, Brett.
Sweet as.
And has the husband come to terms with the fact that he's now got a second child?
Yeah, he has. I work a lot with him, you know. I love spending time with him, just being that second sort of mentor to keep him on the straight and narrow and that sort of thing, and teaching my nephew a bit of bass at the moment. So I'm having a lot of fun doing that, and yeah, it's worth all the money in the world, really.
Good on you, mate. That's so sweet. Yeah. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.
Susie's in Rockingham. Susie, what was your unexpected win?
Good morning. Well, my unexpected wasn't $1 million, but I would have liked it to have been.
Of course.
Back in the 90s, on the back of your cornflakes packet,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I entered a competition, and it was for a projector. And, I sent it away, and months went by, and didn't hear anything. And then I had a knock on the door, and someone trying to deliver something, didn't say what it was, and I'm like, no, I didn't order anything, I don't want to take it back.
Yeah.
So they took it away, and about a week later they brought it back and said, no, you actually won something with the competition. And when I opened up, it was actually the projector I had won.
Oh, a projector.
From the Cornies.
Yeah.
Love it.
I don't know, it was probably worth about $7,000 to $10,000 at the time.
Fantastic
win.
We're really happy with that.
Have you still got it, Susie?
No, we didn't. We sold it.
Don't need it.
No.
Goes to show the importance of a good breakfast.
Oh, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah. Thank you, Kellogg's.
Yeah, good job. Susie. Get the plug in. Nice. Hey, thanks, Susie. Well done.
All right. Thank you.
Claire's Matt and Kimber. Weekdays for breakfast on Mix 94.5.
He's been on the airwaves since 1983.
Clean Claire's with you. Good to have you on this Ricky show.
And just like that, a star is born. It's Classic Claire's.
Oh, Classic Claire's.
Wasn't this meant to be a one-off?
No.
You know, you had your laugh, you had your fun.
Oh, mate, it tracks so well.
Yeah, we had no idea that we would find the archives downstairs at Mix 94.5 with boxes and boxes.
You leave my downstairs
of
alone,
cassette
girl.
Tapes that contained Claire's career.
Yeah, and what a career it's been.
Oh,
you know,
epic.
I mean, there has never been a DJ in the Wheat Belt that has been so popular.
Would you shut up?
So I love this break, right? Because it's not necessarily that it's funny, but it shows great professionalism.
Because
people will know we make mistakes. You know, you fluff your lines sometimes. That's the thing about live performance.
Still doing it today, mate.
He fluffs his lines, but he brings it back beautifully. And then in the second part of the grab, it gives it a context of just how long ago it was. He's talking about someone who became Prime Minister. Seven prime ministers ago.
Wow. Now,
okay.
we need to set up the fact, too, that neither Claire'sy or I have heard,
I haven't heard this
audio.
Since I was 18.
So it's seven prime ministers ago.
There's a bit of news, it starts with pure professionalism and then gives us a little context about how long Claire'sy's been on the
air. Can I leave the room?
No.
Come on, go.
All right.
7 to 7 on this Friday morning. Sound there of a Martin Ware and his British band. I'll try again at his British band, Heaven's Seven Seed in Sunset Now this morning. Anyway, the Deputy Opposition Leader, John Howard, has sent a confidential memo to Andrew Peacock expressing his concern at the escalating cost of the Coalition's election promises. Also, New South Wales Premier Neville Rann has called for national uniform legislation to combat the threat from the AIDS virus.
Johnny Howard as Deputy Opposition Leader, and Neville Rann, who I don't think is still with us, those early days of the HIV scare.
Isn't that incredible?
How old is your
mid-80s.
Voice there? Because your voice sounds like a mature man.
Yeah, from like somewhere in Britain.
It was very English, wasn't
it? Wasn't it?
Very, very good. Very, very good indeed.
Only deeper.
Very good.
Trying to sound deeper.
The good thing is that we know is Claire's a community man.
Yeah.
And in this bit that I found, I mean, he just wanted the good people of Meriden to get involved.
Starting next Monday at 4 o'clock, I'll be at the Oasis Hotel here in Meriden. And the first 25 people who come up and say hello, you'll receive a free stubby. And remember, beer tastes better from a stubby.
Okay,
the credit.
Beer tastes better from a stubby.
Okay, I just have to point out that only 17 people turned up.
I think we were four.
But for a man who doesn't drink beer, there was a bit of a theme, and this bit had me in stitches.
1:30 to 7 news comes up very shortly. On 6MB there, the sound this morning of Tom Paul Glaser and drinking them beers, shedding those tears.
Drinking them beers.
Drinking them beers.
Country music.
Shedding those tears.
Wow.
Classic Clazy.
Oh, dear.
Good work, buddy.
Yeah.
What a terrific young bird you were.
With a cold. We were friends.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Carmel, firstly, thanks for your time and welcome.
Thank you very much.
Carmel, is the role of being a brothel madam complicated? Are you both a business owner but also a confidant and a friend?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I'm probably a bit different from the average madam. I came into it as an outsider. And, you know, the girls actually trained me. They told me what I should be doing and how I should be doing it. And they took me under their wing and then I took them under my wing.
Carmel, the idea of a sex industry, of course, does polarise people. And some on one side of the debate, they will say that it's a necessary service where workers can earn good money and clients receive the intimacy that we all crave. And others will say that no one would sell their bodies if they could find another way. Where do you sit in that debate?
Well, that's exactly right. Every girl in this industry would leave the industry if they could keep the income.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
There are people who are trying to make this industry socially acceptable. Now, it will never be socially acceptable because it'll always be on the outskirts of society because of the money.
Mm.
And if the girls were only going to make the same money working in a brothel or working doing sex work as they'd make working at Woolies, they'd be working at Woolies.
Mm.
Simple as that.
You seem very familiar, Carmel. I'm sure I saw you on Insight recently, and I've got to congratulate you on that because you were so honest on that episode of the show. I want to know about tours. People of all ages and all walks of life are fascinated by tours at brothels, aren't they? Are you ever surprised by that?
No, I'm not, because everybody is curious about this section of life.
Mm.
And I was curious myself. And really, it's there's so much that's mundane about it.
Mm.
But there's also very funny episodes, you know, little things that happen. And blokes come in here. We have an apron hanging just inside the door.
Yeah.
40 years ago, everybody had one of those. It was a barbecue apron. Yeah. It's a naked woman's body with an apron on.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sure. The one.
You know, with if you'll excuse the expression, big tits.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the point is, occasionally, a big, tough miner will come through the door carrying a small bag. And he's a cross-dresser.
Uh-huh.
He will have discussed with the girl out in her stall what he wants. So he'll come in, she'll give him the apron, he goes off to the showers, he puts the apron on, it gives him the body for the dress. He comes out as a woman. He's got his dress on, his shoes, women's shoes, and wig and makeup. I take them in a cup of tea. They both sit on the end of the bed and have a little gossip. And then he stands up and he says, I've got news for you, girlie. I'm a bloke and I'm going to have you. And she goes, oh, no, I had no idea you were a man. And, of course, it's all fantasy. They just act it out. And when he leaves the big, strong miner carrying his bag as he leaves. And everybody's happy.
Well, I'm interested in you saying that, Carmel, because, you know, we were talking about whether people would choose to do this work if they could get the same money elsewhere. But is that, you know, that miner, being able to play out that fantasy in a safe, protected space, is that not a good thing for our social fabric, that people are allowed to do that?
Look, I think brothels are a very necessary and a very happy thing. You know, a bloke has an argument with his wife. The wife says, get away from me, don't touch me, I don't want to have anything to do with you. He goes down to the pub, he has a few drinks, he thinks, what the hell? He goes down to the local brothel, he's only in there for half an hour, comes out again, relaxed and happy, goes home, feels a bit guilty, gives his wife a hug, and he'll say, oh, darling, you know, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And she'll think, what a wonderful man, as she hugs him back. And when they go to bed, he's not trying to have sex with her, and he just cuddles up to her, and she thinks, aren't I lucky? Do you see?
Oh, we see, but it does seem like a bit of a guise, doesn't it, to know that you've been lied to by the person that you trust.
Oh, come on, come on. Boy, you sound like a feminist. You've got to be able to relax and take life as it comes. And I'll tell you what, the bloke does love his wife. The fact that he's gone off and had sex with somebody doesn't alter the fact that this is his life. He loves his wife. But they do have arguments. There's not one couple in the world who hasn't had some sort of an argument that started from nothing, and they lose track of it. And sometimes it gets so bad that they actually finish up in divorce, and then later wonder what the hell happened.
And so in Kalgoorlie, I mean, it's a long-standing business in a small town. Do you need to keep good relationships with the local police and residents?
Look, I don't need to keep good relations. I've always had them. When I came here, containment was on. I was given a set of rules. Before I was allowed to buy, I was asked, would you be prepared to follow these rules? And I read them and I said, yes. And my word is my bond. I have always followed the rules. But I'll tell you something. When I first came here, the lady who was the then deputy mayor, Karen McGay, became a very good friend of mine. And she took me up to Hannon's Club at a time when the Hannon's Club was very social. I think it was about $280 a year to belong. They had this wonderful room with the billiard tables in them and that sort of thing. And I was asked if I'd like to join. And I said, well, why not? So I applied to join. And the following day, the president of the club came down to see me at the brothel. And he said, Carmel, you've split the club. He said, half of the members want you as a member, the other half don't.
Oh.
He said, your application is causing us a lot of angst. And I said, well, what would you like me to do? He said, I know it's a lot to ask, but would you withdraw your application? Well, I've never been one to carry a flag and kick dogs in the street. And I said, okay, so I withdrew it. And I think he was quite stunned at the fact that I wasn't going to fight for rights and all this stupidity. And he said to me, but Carmel, if ever you want to come to the club, you come as my guest, which I thought was lovely.
Oh, it was still a way in the door. Very nice.
No, I had no trouble with that.
And Carmel, the Pink House documentary getting a lot of attention around the place. Was it odd or difficult at any stage having cameras running while you're trying to do your business?
Well, you felt very aware that it was there.
Mm.
It's very obtrusive, intrusive.
Yes. And would did the clients react in a strange way to the cameras? Did they have to be? I haven't seen the documentary yet. Were their faces pixelated, or did they need permission to be filmed?
No. Look, we didn't actually photograph any of the clients.
Yeah.
I had some of the people in the town whom I knew come in to be clients to show how it's done.
Yeah, very nice.
You've got to be. You can't take people unawares.
No, of course.
Not fair.
Of course. No, I agree.
Much like if someone's doing it behind their partner's back in a relationship.
Well, that's right.
Hey, thanks, Campbell, for your time. We appreciate it. And an insight into your business.
Okay. Bye.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber's podcast at mix.com.au.
Now, the moment you've been waiting all morning for. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day on Mix 94.5.
Yeah, I got threatened on the way home yesterday.
No.
Yeah, this busker was having a bit of a play and he said, look, I'm going to smack you with the neck of my guitar.
Mm.
And I said, is that a threat?
Well, there's another Clancy, Matt and Kimber podcast. Done and dusted. Don't forget you can catch them on your good old FM radio too. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Perth's Mix 94.5.
Think of this podcast as one big block of fun. Then imagine living on a big block from 360 to 900 square metres at Rosehill Waters, South Guildford. Just 15 minutes from the city.